Welcome to the Plugged In Podcast by Sweetwater. I'm your host, Mitch Gallagher. Thanks so much for joining us today. For this episode of the Plugged In Podcast, we're sitting down with Taylor Cox, the founder and CEO of a new addition to the Sweetwater family, Amplified Nation Amps. Now, I've been checking out Amplified Nation Amps personally, just for myself, for a while, and I finally got my hands on a couple of them for evaluation here at Sweetwater not long ago. To say I was impressed was, well, that's just a serious understatement. So I'm thrilled that Amplified Nation is joining us here at Sweetwater. Along with Taylor, we'll also have our friend and simply amazing guitar player, RJ Ronquillo, joining us. It's always great to have RJ with us. While Amplified Nation is renowned for their Dumble voiced amps, and Taylor's considered one of the leading experts on Dumble amps, they make a fantastic range of amplifiers from blackface to plexi that'll appeal to any guitarist who's serious about their tone, which I guess is all of us. In this interview, we'll be digging into the Amplified Nation story and what makes their amps so special. Thanks for joining us for this episode of the Plugged In Podcast by Sweetwater. Settle in and let's get started. Taylor, RJ, it's great to have you guys here.
Hey,
appreciate
Mitch.
You sitting down with us.
Thanks.
Yeah, so we were listening to RJ do a bunch of playing earlier on these fantastic amplifiers. I want to dig into what's happening here with Amplified Nation and also get the player's perspective from RJ. So it's great to have you guys sit down with us. Taylor, tell us a little bit of the story. My understanding is you started out repairing and modding amps and got into building your own amps about 15 years ago, or do I have that wrong?
Yeah, no, 2009, I started doing some repair work. And I was re-Tolexing people's amplifiers. So we would buy rolls of Tolex and, you know, guys that maybe wanted to change the color or the aesthetic of their amplifier. We would strip off the Tolex and kind of, you know, put new Tolex on and give it back to the customer.
Right.
Yeah, it was great. A little side hustle.
Yeah, right. So how did you get into actually modding amps and building amps ultimately?
Well, shortly after starting the custom Tolex thing, I started building my own cabinets. And, you know, we were selling them online. We had some forums and stuff like the Gear page where we'd sell reproduction cabinets for Matchless and Bad Cat, Fender, Marshall stuff. I was building all that stuff in my shop. And I stumbled upon a resource online called the Amp Garage, which is a website of hobbyists. And the guys were building clones of Trainwreck and Dumble style amplifiers. And man, I just fell in love with this stuff. Like, it was so like ultra boutique. Mm-hmm. And there was all this like secretism and drama around these like super expensive amps and, you know, what went into them and were they so great? And there was like, you know, goop designs, and man, it was just like amazing for me at the moment. And, you know, through that resource, I said, you know, maybe I'll start building my own amplifiers. And so I kind of had my, took about 6 weeks, and I built my own Dumble style amplifier. It was a clone of Robin Ford's 102. So high plate Skyliner, Dumble Overdrive Special.
Right.
And man, it sounded great. So I started doing that, and I'd built up a bit of a following with the cabinet business. And so when word got out that I started making my own amps, people wanted to buy them. So we started selling like some Dumble clones here and there. And man, it really took off quick.
Did you have an electronics background going into to starting work on amps?
I did not. I'm more of like a guitar player sales guy.
Okay.
So, you know, I actually got a bunch of books from the library and kind of figured out how electricity worked. Anything from like running electricity through power lines to working with transformers. And then, of course, resources on vacuum tubes.
Right.
So it's kind of cool. Like, there's a lot out there on vacuum tubes. And because it's such of like an outdated technology, the information out there is almost like finite, right? Like, everything that's been discovered about vacuum tubes has already been discovered.
Right.
So it's like watching like a series, you know, a TV show when there's like only one series. You're like, I can handle this, right? So really just dove in. And a lot of it was kind of just reading online, you know, figuring out what these guys were doing and having that support system. Mm-hmm. Of those websites. But you know, the other thing is I'd done so much work doing custom Tolex and the custom cabinetry that I got to see like literally hundreds of amplifiers. So guys were bringing me anything from vintage stuff to new production stuff. And I kind of was able to play the amps and hear how they were supposed to sound and feel how they were supposed to sound. And I got to see the features that I liked and the features that I didn't like. And because I was doing like reproduction cabinets and really taking everything apart, I got to see how everything was put together, you know, constructing techniques, anything from like threaded inserts into chassis to like lead dress and where wires were supposed to go. And I was able to kind of put all that information together and really just learn from experience.
So having experience with all these different amplifiers as a player, listening to them and looking inside them, what was the attraction of the Dumble style amplifiers that really drew you in?
Well, it was ultra boutique, you know, and it had this like, it was almost like, it was really sexy. It had this secretism behind it.
Right.
So as everyone knows, or most people know, Dumble used to epoxy goop his amplifiers so nobody could steal the circuit. And it was almost like this elusive amp that there wasn't that many of them. Mm-hmm. Everybody wanted one and nobody could figure out what was in them. Right. Only a few guys had them. And it just was like intoxicating to be like, have these secrets that you could find out. So when I stumbled upon that website, you know, some of those guys had reverse engineered some of those amps. The first amp that I built, you know, it was like the connection was different. Like it had this organic connection. It did all these different things that I'd never heard from a guitar amp before. Things like controlled feedback and note flipping. It felt like I was playing the amplifier as much as the guitar.
Right.
You know, so it was a lot of things. It was kind of the mystique behind all of it, but it really, I loved the way the amps, you know, felt to play.
Yeah. So at that point, had you actually played a real Dumble?
I had. When I was doing the custom cabinet stuff, I was invited over to a customer's house, and he had asked me to make a head shell for an amp that he had. And I was like, still kind of new to the game. And, you know, of course, I wasn't always driving around doing deliveries and pickups, but I said, you know what, I'll do it for this guy. So I went over to his house, and he had this basement workshop. And I went down there, and he said, this is the amp I want you to build a head shell for. And it was Dumble number 84. And I'd never really even heard of Dumble other than that website. I may have been pretty early on in my journey. It was a combo. It was buckskin suede, and I got to play it, man. And it was just absolutely amazing.
RJ, have you spent much time with Dumbles and that type of amplifier?
Not a ton of time with like authentic Dumbles. I did play through Joe Bonamassa's rig once for a couple seconds that it had.
Nice.
One or two Dumbles in there.
Yeah, right.
But I haven't gotten a chance to sit down. But, you know, with his amps, I think that I get it. You know, the sound and the feeling, what everyone talks about, I get it now.
Yeah, it is you almost have to experience it.
You're right.
Because it's the feel
experience.
And the connection between the guitar, your fingers, and the amp is really different.
Exactly.
Right.
It's all combined.
Right, right. And what's the connection between you guys? How did you end up demoing amps for Taylor?
I found RJ online at probably the end of 2019, and I just loved his style playing, you know, endless supply of tasty licks. Like, you know, the stuff was always there. His guitar playing was just amazing. So we actually organized a meetup at NAMM 2020. And so we tracked him down in the Guild booth, and we got to hear him play some more music, and then he started demoing our amps.
I think that the same time that you were checking out my stuff, I think I was checking out your stuff on Instagram. Here I was seeing these kind of Dumble-looking things, but with amazing coverings and colors. I think it's the visual is what caught my attention first, you know, with the really cool grill cloths and everything. And I don't know if there's a thread in, you know, way, way back, but I probably hit you up and said, hey, what's up with these amps? And, you know, so I think it was the timing was, you know, right around the same time.
We'll move on from the Dumble stuff, but I'm one more question. I'm curious for both of you as players, do you find that plugging into an amplifier like that or one of these amplifiers that are behind us here, the Amplified Nation amplifiers, does it change your playing? Does it change your relationship with your guitar?
Absolutely. I think any piece of gear, whether it's you know, a guitar or a pedal, it puts me in a place. It puts me in an era. I definitely adjust my playing accordingly to whatever I'm going through. Whether, you know, if it's a Telecaster or Les Paul or something, or a high gain amp or a lower gain amp, it definitely molds the way I play in that moment. Mm-hmm. For sure.
Right, right. Taylor, how about you?
You know, I always felt like when I got the right piece of gear, or I tried something that was really high-end, I actually felt kind of more creative. And I'm not sure if it was just being inspired by the instrument or it was the confidence that I got from knowing that I was playing something that was going to deliver the best results.
Were the first amplifiers that you offered commercially, were they based on that Robin Ford style amp that you had built initially, or had you gone in different directions by then?
It was still kind of working in some Dumble style stuff, but it was the John Mayer kind of tone that really attracted me back then, which was the kind of full bodied cleans. There's like the plunky thing. I don't know if you know what that I'm talking about, but you know, it really kind of pops where it's like got just a little bit of compression on the front end of the note. John Mayer has definitely kind of developed his own sound with these amps as well. The Robin Ford and the John Mayer are the kind of the two kind of most epic Dumble style tones. But I started with the Robin Ford stuff, but then quickly, like, everybody wanted that Mayer tone. You know, that single channel, like, great sound that Mayer was known for with the Stratocaster.
When you first started looking at that, were you doing more of the Steel String Singer style Dumbles, or had you moved more toward the Wonderland, or what?
Yeah, I was doing like the Wonderland and the Bombshell amps. Okay. You know, they had different names at the time. Those are kind of what we started with. The Steel String Singer, we started building in 2014, shortly after. And, you know, that's a different beast.
Yeah.
You know, high output, low distortion, a little more percussive than the traditional Dumble fare.
I'm sure the legend is true, but the story is that Alexander customized every amplifier for a particular player. Were there particular serial numbers that you were looking at? Were there particular players you were chasing? You mentioned Robin Ford, but others, and John Mayer, are there others as well, given your extensive lineup of amps?
Yeah, so there were some other original Dumbles that I had the pleasure of kind of experiencing. I had number 38 for a while, which was a 1979 overdrive special that Joe Bonamassa used on one of his albums. And man, that amp sounded absolutely phenomenal. I'm not sure if it was the mix of NOS components, but just old components that are unobtainable at this point. But that was absolutely fantastic. So yeah, I mean, the thing is with the, you know, Dumble did voices amps for different players, and a lot of it is like people that maybe were looking for specific gain structures. So guys that might want a more saturated tone, or guys that might want their overdrive to sound smoother, or guys that might want, you know, more of a throaty overdrive that maybe was uncompressed and not so smooth. But a lot of it is, you know, when you're voicing an amp, you're looking at the bigger picture. So you're talking to a customer or a player, and you're figuring out what they're looking for, and you also cross-reference you know, what style of music that they're playing. And a lot of it is like the pickup selection. So if you got a guy that's playing a Stratocaster, like, versus a Les Paul, you know, higher output humbucker, obviously you're going to voice those two amps very differently.
Right. But even, you know, RJ, we've talked about this actually in the past. I don't know if you remember or not, but, you know, there's 50s style Strat pickups, there's 60s style Strat pickups. And if you want the Hendrix tone, you know, and et cetera. So even within those broader groups, there are all kinds of different variations that you deal with. Do you find then that, like, some of your amps, you'd say this is a single coil amp, this one's a humbucker amp, or do they work well across all the different styles?
So it's easiest to voice the amp for humbuckers. Like, almost everything sounds good with a humbucker guitar. Where the challenge comes in is the single coil. And the Tele's not so bad. I'm not sure why there's a big difference, but the Tele's pretty easy. The Strat can be a challenge. And really what you need is an amp that can support the single coil sounds. So what that means is kind of having like a fatter mid, which really kind of gives the Strat a little more beef. Now, what's cool is that when you have an amp that's voiced for Strats, you can plug a humbucker guitar into that and it just like really comes alive. Yeah. Right. So, and that's like kind of a challenge that a lot of people have with these. When you talk about like the Robin Ford stuff, like Robin's known for playing humbuckers, and the high plate Skyliner, which is Robin's 102, those don't support the Strat that well. You know, so we have a couple different variations of that kind of Dumble sound in our lineup. When you look at like the Wonderland Overdrive or the Overdrive Reverb, those are fantastic Strat amps. They sound great with the Strat, the Tele, the Les Paul, you know, anything else you want to throw at it. When you go into like the Bombshell Overdrive, chewy, you know, smooth, it's got the sustain, but that amp's kind of voiced for humbuckers. You know, we can kind of tweak it if you got a guy that's really playing the Strat. I'll tend to like kind of move someone over to the other amps.
RJ, do you have that same experience as you've? I know you've had a chance to play through a lot of these different amps.
In fact, one of the ones that I fell in love with was the Steel String Singer. I bought the 100-watt one because that was the best amp that sounded good with my 10 Stratocasters. I'm a Stratoholic, so
yeah, I guess.
I was looking for like the perfect amp, and I've played through. And I own many different amps. Actually, I started with the Steel String Sultan, the 22-watt, right?
Yeah.
And then I'm like, no, I want the 100-watt headroom because there's something about the feeling of that. And that's still like my, whenever I want to play a clean Strat, that's the best amp I've ever used.
100-watt steel string Singer.
Yeah. And you were using those with a lot of pedals too, right?
Yeah.
I wanted to touch on something else, or get a little more into something else you mentioned there. And Taylor, we were talking about this earlier, and that's the effect of having more power in a bigger amplifier, if you will. And it's a combination of headroom, but there's also a much bigger transformer when you go from a 22-watt amp to a 100-watt amp. But there are places where each of those power levels are going to be ideal.
Yeah. They call it oomph.
Oomph.
Right? Yeah. So the as you go up in power, the sound of the room just feels bigger, right? Obviously, the headroom is a no-brainer, but what you really hear is the increased low-end presence. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the 22 is going to cut real well. It's going to be bouncy and lively, but it's not going to have a ton of low end. You go up to the 50 watt and then you start really feeling that bass. You know, it's coming from different angles. The amp is responding differently, still pretty articulate. And you go up through the 100 watt and then it just feels absolutely massive. You know, you tend to also use a bigger cabinet with the larger amp.
Sure.
But yeah, once you get to the 100 watt amp, I mean, it's funny because like even at lower volumes, there's more low end. And, you know, it's great. I mean, all the power levels work well for different players. You know, so if you got a guy that, you know, really wants to gig with the amp, but still play at home and not disturb too many people, 50 watts seems to be the sweet spot.
Right. And of course, your amplifiers, I mean, they sound great even when you have them at low volume levels. I mean, their voice, they hold together at low volumes. But one of the advantages of having a lower power amp is that you can crank that amp up and get power amp distortion out of it as well, and so you can drive that amp much harder, and that's a different sound than a preamp distortion.
Yeah, of course. You know, the Dumble style stuff tends to have a pretty cold power amp section. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the gain and the drive tones are really coming from the preamp, which is great for a low volume situation if you're a guy that doesn't want to have to crank up the amp. But yeah, I mean, it's a tube amp, it's an electric guitar, you know what I mean? They're always going to sound better when you turn them up.
Right. And the 22 watt lets you do that without it being completely destroying the room with volume. But as we were talking about earlier too, I mean, the relationship between decibels and power, it's not a one-to-one relationship. When you go from 50 watts to 100 watts, it's not twice as loud. It's a 3 dB increase, which is a noticeable volume increase, but it's nowhere near twice the volume level.
Yeah, it's the headroom and the presence.
Now, you mentioned cabinets there, and that's a big part of the equation as well. And Dumble's cabinets they had some interesting features to them. And I know you're making three different cabinet styles, correct?
Yeah, and you know, most of the Dumble cabinets were open back, mm-hmm. and they have this kind of unique, some people call it like a football, that's got an oval port on the back. And the oval port is really cool because it kind of takes the sensitivity out of the cabinet. Open back cabs tend to like always sound good. You know, as long as they're kind of the right box volume and they've got some depth to them, a lot of the sound is coming out of the front, but there's also sound coming out of the back. So an open back cab is going to sound bigger. It's going to fill the room out more. Yeah, so we have three open back cabs. We've got a 1x12 that is a little bit oversized, which has a nice bass projection. Sounds good with all of our amps. It's got a nice, 12-inch depth to it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, big sound. And then we have two 2x12 cabinets, a vertical, which our smaller format heads can sit on top of, that really gives good projection, nice highs that stay up close to your ears, puts the amp up high. We launched a new cab last year that works well with our larger format amps, our Overdrive Reverb, Steel String Singer, and Trem Drive. Those are all 24 inches. And I wanted a 2x12 that was small, but would kind of look like a vertical. So we came out with this cool square cab that's 24 by 24 inches. And it keeps the amp up high, but it's small and compact, and it still has that 12-inch depth. So it's right. Real punchy and has a ton of headroom.
Right. Is there one of those you prefer, RJ?
Well, I kind of have my eyes on the new square.
The square?
12, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of the best of both worlds, right? It's in a way, it's bigger, but in a way, it's also smaller, and it's pretty easy to pretty easy to manage.
It's perfect, I think.
Yeah, nice. And what about speaker choice to go with these amplifiers? Is there one particular speaker that you recommend that you load into those cabinets?
So I'm a big fan of the Celestion G1265. Mm-hmm. It's a great kind of all-around speaker. It works well with all of our amps. It has a nice, tight, modern sound to it. Great headroom. It doesn't color the sound too much, but you can push it and get like a little bit of breakup. So that's probably our leading speaker. For guys that do want a little bit of breakup in their speaker, maybe some vintage warmth, we've got the Creamback G12M65, which is another kind of one of my favorite speakers. Mm-hmm. Great speaker to pair with the Dirty Wonderland or the Amplifonics and Gain. And then we have a kind of a higher wattage speaker, a 200 watt speaker made by Warehouse, the WGS-12L, which is their version of the Electrovoice 12L.
Okay.
And 200 watts, heavy, large frame, big magnet, ton of headroom. Works great if you want to run a 100 watt amp into one of the 1x12s or have a high wattage combo. Or if you're playing an amp like the Dirty Wonderland or the Steel String Singer, where you really want a ton of headroom, that speaker won't break up.
Right. We were sharing our stories of vintage EVM speakers. I've got a pair of them in 1x12 cabs, and you said you have a 2x12 loaded with
Yeah, it's heavy. It's heavy, but that's my test cab.
Yeah.
So it sits next to my desk. I'm still testing every single amp that we ship out, and it gives me an opportunity to really hear what's going on with the amp. Mm-hmm. The EVs and the WGS speakers, because they're so high wattage, they're very representative of what you're putting in. Like, you really hear the amp, and if there's any sort of breakup or weird noises or pops or anything like that, you know it's not coming from the speaker cab. And right. That allows us to really keep quality control on the amplifiers.
Right, right. RJ, you mentioned that the Steel String Singer works well with your extended family of Strats and things. Is there a speaker you like to match with that amplifier?
Well, I was echoing him, the Celestion 65, because I like the headroom. Mm-hmm. You know, there's something about... And it's funny, like when I was younger, I didn't know anything about tone or headroom or, you know, what's that? I'm more mature and I know what I like as far as... how I like my amps to react. I do appreciate having more headroom, whether that's having a 100 watt amp or, you know, a speaker that can handle that much wattage.
Right. Yeah. It's interesting how much difference the speaker can make, the cabinet can make, and of course the amplifier. And I mean, it all has to work as one unified system to really create an overall tone. And so you can fine tune any of those aspects. And you offer a lot of those things as options or customization possibilities with your amps.
Yeah, so, we're not like a custom shop company. We pretty much stay true to our designs, but we have a lot of customizations. So we do customization options for our aesthetics. So you can order our amps in, I don't know, there's probably 7 or 8 different Tolexes. We've got all the industry standard stuff, black, fawn, tweed. We do a lot of crocodile stuff. And then we have about 15 different colors of suede as well. We offer every different grill cloth that's on the market.
Right.
And even some more. We do some custom stuff. And then we do customizations on the amp where people can choose their power level. I think we were talking about before 22, 50, or 100 watts on all of our amps. And the Steel String Singer, you can even order up to 150 watts.
Wow. That's a monster amp.
You know, it's cool because it gives you the custom shop experience
Yeah. Without
like a 2-year wait.
Right,
you know?
Right. And then you can choose the speakers and the cabinets and those kind of things as well, right?
Yep, definitely. Right.
You had an amp you were showing me earlier, the Angry Frog finish.
Yeah,
the green was, man, that's a cool looking amplifier. That makes a statement. I love it. It's fantastic.
It's a cool color.
Yeah. So one of the things that's interesting to me is, as I look at your lineup of amplifiers, is you've got, if you can sort of break them down, you've got the clean side and then you've got the dirty side and different types of that. But I'm curious, so if we look at the clean side, you've got Steel String Singer, you've got the Wonderland, and you've got the Amplifonics side of the Amplifonics and Gain amplifier. Tell us about those three different voices, if you will. Are they related? Are they similar? Are they completely different?
They're completely different. So the Wonderland clean is a very kind of typical Dumble clean from the early 80s. So before the Robin Ford influence started, that clean is reminiscent of some vintage Fender stuff. That's the Mayer clean, where it's like almost like you're playing a super reverb with a little bit more oomph, if you will, like a higher wattage super reverb with more control over the gain.
Okay.
So it's full bodied, uncompressed, really open, feels really natural, supports the Strat well, kind of classic sound. The Steel String Singer is a more percussive amp. It feels like it's turbocharged, like it's about to explode, but it still has a lot of headroom and kind of stays tight and focused. So that amp is, I would say the EQ is similar, where it's very balanced and feels open, which is nice, but the action is different. So really percussive, high output, clean. So you get this like clean sustain from it, which is really unique. Touch sensitivity. It can actually be a little hard to play because it's just like, it's so there, you know, right, everything right. from your both hands on the fretboard are really, you can hear everything. And then the Amplifonics clean is actually really unique as well. So that's another kind of like Fender Bassman sort of voiced amp, but it's more aggressive. And mm-hmm. when you push that amp or turn it up, or, you know, even if you want to use it with an attenuator and kind of get some more swing of the volume control, it'll break up a lot and has a lot of attitude. That amp has a really crisp sound to it, and it does this really like swirly thing. It almost feels like it's breathing a little bit, and it's like a sustain, but it's different.
As I was listening to RJ demo those amplifiers, it's like, man, all three of those are super desirable clean tones, but they do have a voice to them and a response. Did you find that as a player?
Yeah, I think that's the one problem I have with these amps is it's hard to pick a favorite. it's like
collect them all.
Collect them all, exactly.
Right, yeah, but it's not just a tone thing. I've characterized them sometimes as they have a little bit of a hard feel as a player because they respond. Some of them, like the Steel String Singer, respond so quickly. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're right on. So you've got to play that amp.
Yeah.
Yeah, did you find that it changed your technique a little bit?
Yeah, and that's probably why I liked it so much, because it was unlike any other amp that I've played, and I wasn't used to something like the way that reacts to my playing, you know, the percussiveness, the fullness. So really, I think I fell in love with it because it was so new to me, and I wanted to experiment with it, and I wanted to learn how to dial it in and learn how to adapt my playing to using that amp.
Right, right.
Yeah, I think there's two like pivotal moments as a guitar player. One is when you figure out how to use the volume control of your guitar. Right. And the other one is when you start appreciating.
Wait, there's more than just on and off.
The other one is when you start appreciating clean. Mm-hmm. You know, and you know, cuz everyone starts off electric guitar gain, right? Overdriven sounds, feels good. And then when you get an amp that really gives you the great clean and you start appreciating it, it just puts you in a different place.
But there's also the dirty side of things. And you have several different flavors of those that I want to touch on. But two that really caught my eye is you've got the Overdrive Reverb, which is based on the Dumble Overdrive Reverb, but you also have the Bombshell Overdrive, which is based on Overdrive Special. Correct? Mm-hmm. Do I have that right?
Yes.
What's the difference between those two?
So the actual topology is pretty similar, where you have a clean and an overdriven sound. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of different kind of thoughts behind the progression of the Dumble preamp. So there's a few different generations of Dumble Overdrive Specials. There's the 70s, and then there's two of the like 80s version. So there's the 70s, then there's the early 80s and the later 80s. And the 70s were really raw. I think David Lindley was kind of known for that sound, where they were used a lot for slide guitar, pedal steel. And then Dumble kind of got a little more polite. And in the early 80s, he did the Low Plate Classic. The Low Plate Classic is what our Wonderland Overdrive is based off of, and our Overdrive Reverb. Those amps sound great with the Strat, as I mentioned before. They've got a nice full-bodied clean. They have the fat mids, and they're uncompressed. So you don't have this really smooth sound. It's kind of raw, but it's cool. Like, you know, it sounds great. Now, when Dumble started working with Robin, he changed that preamp. And some people say he changed it for Robin, and some people say, like, maybe Robin had him change it. No one really knows. But the later 80s, kind of Robin Ford is the high plate Skyliner, and that's when it gets smoother and chirpier and mm-hmm. does the note flipping stuff and does the saxophone kind of tone. So that's the difference. So when you go from like the early 80s, where it's more raw, and you go to the later 80s, it's more smooth.
Right. Now you offer some sort of combination amps, if you will. So there's like the Wonderland Overdrive as well. What does that combine together?
That is the clean channel of an early 80s Dumble Overdrive Special. And then that kind of has a custom voice. Mm-hmm. So I actually made my own overdrive channel on that amp. So it was inspired by amps of that generation, but it's a little bit different. When I first came out with that amp, what I was looking to do was have the Mayer clean and almost like an early Joe Bonamassa overdrive onto it. So that's a great amp, man. It's super versatile. It's been one of our best sellers, and mm-hmm. it's a lot of fun to play and easy to set up.
Yeah, definitely. Well, with those two combinations, I mean, you kind of got it covered there for a lot of different styles of music. Now, you also combined some other things there. We mentioned the Amplifonics clean channel, but the actual amplifier is the Amplifonics in gain. What is the gain in that amp?
So that amp has two independent preamps. the clean side, which we touched on, is the Amplifonics channel. The gain side is like a hot-rodded plexi.
Okay.
So it runs the gamut of Marshall tones. It'll do like great kind of lower gain, classic rock stuff. You can get Allman Brothers, Woman Tone. You can get Hendrix out of it. And then as you increase in gain, the amp gets more saturated and will go more kind of into Soldano territory or even hard rock and metal. All the Marshall tones are in there. And, you know, that amp does have the two independent preamps, and then it has a shared power amp and a reverb circuit, which is nice.
Okay. So it's completely separate controls. I mean, basically the preamps are completely standalone. There's no really, you're not cascading the way you do in a Dumble style amp.
No, when you channel switch, you know, one of the other channel is completely grounded out of the circuit.
The other amplifier that really caught my ear, RJ, when you were doing the demos was the Trem drive. I mean, man, the Trem circuit in that is just, oh, it's so luscious.
It's hypnotizing that Trem.
Yeah, exactly. Tell us about that amp. Where'd that come from?
That amp was another modded Dumble creation that he did. He modded the Deluxe Reverb, and I think he called it the Overdrive Deluxe. And there wasn't that many of them, but there's a couple videos on YouTube that were some guys playing that are absolutely amazing. So we did our own version of that. It's got bias Trem, which you heard, onboard reverb, and it's a single channel amp with a ton of different ways to boost the signal. It'll do kind of vintage Fender tones all the way up to kind of harder rock Marshall stuff. But when you stack everything together, it is so fun. I mean, you get that amp just kind of doing the Trem thing. The reverb is big. It feels like it's alive. When you play the lower wattage ones, you can almost drive it into like a fuzz territory, and it sounds cool.
I think there's a misconception that when you get a Dumble amp, you get a sound. So you get this amp and you've got the Robin Ford sound. And this amp, it's the Larry Carlton sound. And this amp, it's the David Lindley sound. And you're good on the list of Santana or, you know, all the different Dumble users. But that's not really the case. I mean, from what you've been telling us here, these are all really versatile amplifiers.
Yeah, so all the amps are not direct clones. Like, these are all my interpretations or designs that I had that were kind of inspired by some of the Dumble stuff. And I really want to make the amps kind of available to more people and work with different style guitars. So nothing is really kind of boxed into any one thing. Some amps shine better for different styles of playing. Some amps have more gain. Some amps have less gain. You know, some work with better style guitars. But they all have a lot of versatility and a lot of flexibility. So I didn't want to have kind of an amp that only worked with one thing. You know, I want it to be open to everybody.
One of the things that also makes them easier to manage, if you will, is with a lot of the Dumbles, you had to have a separate piece of gear in order to have an effects loop that worked really well with pedals and with different level of effects. Your amps have effects loops in most of them.
We have passive effects loop. So if you really want to run like a big board or a long line of effects, you still do need to get a buffer. But if you're running like just a delay or a reverb or a couple time based things, you can easily just plug into the loop of the amp. Most of the amps, especially the clean ones, will take pedals really well up front. Yeah, so there's definitely great pedal platforms that we have. But I know what you're talking about. The buffer loops are good to add, like I said, if you're running a big board.
So RJ, you played through most of the amps, all seven of the amps maybe today. You've got Steel String Singer. What's your next Amplified Nation amp?
Well, as I said, it's very hard to make a decision.
You got to choose right now.
It's been a couple of years. Like, I've been choosing for a couple of years, and today, I think I've been leaning towards the Dirty Wonderland today. But it could change like the next time I play through another amp. So.
Yeah. I was telling Taylor earlier that I had the Dirty Wonderland and actually the Overdrive Reverb in my office for a few weeks when you sent them out for us to evaluate. And, man, it was really tough letting them go. Letting them go back out the door was really tough. I agree with you. The Dirty Wonderland, especially for single coil, is fantastic. Yeah. But everything you played through just sounded amazing. I mean, it really is. There's a 3D quality to these amps, I guess is how I'd describe it.
Yeah, there's a lot of tonal options, a lot of tweakability, which I like, and they just sound great with, you know, different types of guitars.
I mean, any amplifier is going to give you a great tone if you know how to set it up or whatever, but these are amplifiers that allow you to really find your own voice, to really sound like you when you plug into them, and you can tweak them and you can dial them in, but some of them are also very straight ahead and you can plug in and turn them on, but they allow you with your choice of guitar, the way you play, the way you pick, the way you finger the strings and all that comes across, and it does let you develop your own voice in a maybe faster and easier way than some other amplifiers.
Yeah, we tried to design them so they were intuitive and easy to dial in. You know, we've got some amps like the Overdrive Reverb, which have many different controls, different ways you can scale the volume, different ways you can structure the gain. For guys who really want to dial in tones, I mean, some people, including myself, like, I love to fiddle with knobs. I love extra switches, you know? Sometimes for me, like if I sit down with an amp, maybe I really connect with it today and I'll leave the switches in the same spot and I come back the next day and I don't connect with it, you know? Like, so I love the ability to, you know, be able to tweak the sound and kind of have different ways to manipulate the EQ. And, you know, we have boosts on an amp, like, you know, bright, mid, deep boosts. So it's really nice to have those switches and the ability to do that. But we also have amps that don't do that. Like, guys, some customers don't want to have to dial stuff in. Mm-hmm. Maybe want something that's easy to set up and don't have a lot of switches and doesn't have, you know, controls on the back. So, you know, we try to talk to customers and see what kind of, you know, experience they want.
Right, right. So I asked RJ, if you could only pick one, which of your kids is your favorite?
It's hard. It's hard. I really, it's, you know, the same thing about sitting down with the same settings. It's the same thing with the amps, you know. I still play all the amps before they go out of the shop. And every once in a while, you just sit down with one and you're like, man, this is an amazing amp. This is my favorite. And then the next day, it's something else. I think right now, I'm really loving, I have a large place to play. We play in the warehouse. So I love the 100-watt amps. And I've always been a player who loved reverb. So right now it's the 100-watt overdrive reverb for me.
Oh, nice, nice. So have you exhausted the Dumble lexicon? Are there more amps on the way?
Surprisingly, there's still a whole bunch more Dumble style amps that no one's seen yet.
Hmm.
There's one, there's like the Odyssey, which is cool. There's one called Carrot Top.
Okay.
And there's La Tostada. And there's a few more that I'd love to get my hands on, or, you know, make a new model of. So yeah, there's still more to explore.
As you can tell, I'm really excited about these amps. I love that flavor of amplifier, and with the Amplified Nation amps, you can either go for the spot on Dumble thing, or, as I said, you can also dial your own voice and make your choices among the different voices that are available there. So, man, super fun, and we're super glad to have you here at Sweetwater. It's just great to have Amplified Nation as part of the family.
Yeah, I'm so excited. It was a great day today, and I really appreciate the time.
Absolutely. Well, thank you guys for sitting down. RJ, man, as always, your playing is just stellar, man. I could listen to you all day long, so thanks for doing that as well.
Thank you, Mitch.
Appreciate it. And Taylor, great to have you visit us here. Hope you'll come back, and both of you can sit down again on either the Plugged In podcast, or we'll do some videos together.
Thanks, Mitch. Appreciate it.
All right, you bet. I hope that you enjoyed this installment of the Plugged In podcast by Sweetwater. Special thanks to Taylor Cox from Amplified Nation for sitting down with me for this interview. It was a real pleasure to talk to him. And I have to admit, I'm positive that one of his fantastic amps are going to be joining my personal rig very soon. I just need to figure out which one. Or maybe I just need to make it easy and get all of them. Yeah, that sounds like a great idea. And actually, I've been imagining two of them in stereo. That would be so glorious. Our thanks also to the always awesome RJ Ronquillo for joining us. Be sure to check out RJ's channel over on YouTube. You can learn more about Amplified Nation amps by pointing your browser over to sweetwater.com, or better yet, reach out to your Sweetwater sales engineer for full information on these amazing amps and cabinets. Thanks again for joining us today. I'm Mitch Gallagher, and this has been the Plugged In Podcast by Sweetwater.